So, good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe, and we are together once again in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon after all of my travels. And right now, we're going to make sure that my much-loved friend Aaron, who is sitting right across from me, is on the board. So, Aaron, would you give us a good morning? Or good afternoon, that's where we are.
Good afternoon, Captain Joe.
And indeed, we are together on the board. So, because I am back on the Magical Isle and I am completed my travels for a while, and that gives me the opportunity to start having friends. You all know, all of you of Captain Joe's people know that I only have friends that come on with me. I do not have guests. And that is certainly the case with Aaron. Aaron and I have been friends for a number of years, and Aaron and Doug own a business, and we're going to talk about that. And so before I bring Aaron on to talk, it is, as always, my custom to give greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Stockholm, which is the capital of the Kingdom of Sweden on one side of the world, all the way to the other side of the world, to Singapore, and all of the ships and aircraft in between, and all of the stations that are about their father's business, rescuing the hapless mariner. We're going to talk a little bit about sort of hapless mariners with Erin, because she and Doug own a business which introduces some hapless mariners to low-level water work. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. The binnacle list is not a particularly good one this week, in the sense that we have a number of upper respiratory infections, none of which I'm aware that are life-threatening. But I'm also expanding the binnacle list because I had a much-loved and dear friend came to me the other day, and she was in tears. And it was over the almost inevitable necessity of putting down a much-loved pet. We all know that we include our pets in our families. And all of Captain Joe's people who listen to me every week know of the adventures of Sailor and Ellery, who are my current residents. And so I'm expanding the binnacle list to include seaman-like pets, and with our hopes that when it becomes necessary for them to cross the bar, that it be an easy one. I am a terrible example of this because I always hope that Dr. Don can find some magic elixir to stretch out the life of pets that I know I have to let go. So with all of that, we're now going to ask the lovely Erin to introduce herself, and then we're going to talk a little bit about not sailing ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings, as Lewis Carroll talked about. But we're going to talk about family and grandchildren, and we're going to talk about their business and the things that she and I have done together over the years. So good afternoon to you, Aaron.
Thanks so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
So we started out together. You had a business down at the kayak place, and it has now expanded. So tell us a little bit about that, about the how the business got started and how I got involved with it, with you and Doug, with the low tide celebration, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so we own Vashon Adventures, which started off as Vashon Water Sports, where we took over the kayaks over at Jensen Point from the Park District. And we've built that over the years. Gosh, it's been 9 years now that we've known each other. And We do kayaking and paddle boarding. And for 2023, there's been a generous donation of a couple pedal kayaks that were donated to the Vashon Nature Center. And we're going to put those into use. So when we get to the low tide celebration, I think they might be a fun addition mm-hmm. for us for this year. But so we started with kayaks and paddle boards, and we've moved on to adding electric bikes so people can explore and go to the lighthouse and get there on two wheels instead of driving over if they choose to. And we also are having camping where we have camping at the lighthouse up on the hill for yes. a couple of for people who either paddle in or ride their bikes in. So we're kind of the outdoor fun group on the island, and we just love, you know, joining our partners on the island and just really showcasing what a beautiful place we live in.
The first office that you had, the first storefront that you had, was in a different location. And I walked in there one day, and I was developing my network of heads that people can use. Emergency head calls that people can use. And you had happened to have one in that building. And as I recall, and my recollection may be not accurate, and you may kindly, gently, and respectfully correct me if you feel it necessary to do so, but it seems to me that you and I had a dialogue about whether or not you would be willing to include the head in that particular office. Is my recollection on that correct, or did you resist me on this?
No, we jumped in wholeheartedly.
Yes. So when the current building became available, you moved up into that, and it also has a head.
It does.
And you are welcoming people who come in. They do not have to buy anything.
Absolutely not.
And you have just taken on a new employee.
Help. We have.
Yes.
Yes. So we have a lot of seasonal help throughout the year, and we also have Callie Wagner, who has joined us at the bike shop and is an amazing, cheerful, beautiful smile. She's there. We're kind of in and out right now because of the weather. Don't really want to get people on bikes or in kayaks when it's snowing outside. But Callie will welcome you wholeheartedly if you need to use the restroom, or the head, as I should be calling it here. And just come in and say hi. We have water and a bathroom. So
we're going to have Callie on later. But Callie has an interesting story in herself. And so the business of which she is a part next door is what? What is that? I know the answer. I want you to tell it.
So her husband is the pastor at the Methodist Church.
Yep.
And Callie is just an incredible woman who helps support the program there. They're doing a lot of community work. And the food bank is actually heading into that location. So it's a great spot. They have a lovely daughter, Maria, and they're just an awesome addition to this island.
I wanted to bring Callie in because we are going to have her in. We're going to talk about the newly enfranchised pastor at the Methodist Church and the connection that she made, because the Methodist Church is almost right next door to where you are. And that she's been briefed that people who come in and want to use the head and don't want to rent a bike. What color are the bikes that you have, Aaron?
They're Skittle colors. We have all we have red, we have blue, we have yellow. It's a very happy assortment of colors.
Now, electric bikes are left all over the city of Seattle. But that doesn't happen with yours. How do you manage that?
No. These are pretty advanced pedal-assist electric bikes that are rented from the shop in town, which has a beautiful mural on the side of the building with the lighthouse on it. So that's how you find us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they're rented by the hour, by the day, by multiple days if people need transportation while they're on the island and they don't want to drive. we help people do that. And we just ask that people keep the bikes on the island.
So do you have a tracking system for them so that you know where they are?
No.
Okay. All right.
The ferry system.
Yeah, the ferry system. So if one of the Skittle-colored bikes were to appear in the ferry queue, then they would be denied access to the ferry of the frustrated.
We would hope so.
Yes. Well, since I happen to know both of the owners of the business pretty well, and I know that nobody would try to stiff them. And also, when they come down to the lighthouse, and I frequently see people come down to take my tours at the lighthouse, and they are riding. You started out with just the orange Skittle-colored ones, as I recall, and I always recognized that that's what they were and that they belonged to Aaron and Doug. And to make sure that they got properly returned and returned in good condition, getting them up that hill is from the lighthouse up to the next upper level is a real challenge. And anyway, it is a wonderful business. It is run by lovely people. And Aaron and I have worked together for a number of years on Low Tide Celebration. For Captain Joe's people who are listeners but who do not live on the island, every year for the last 15 years, we have had a celebration where we find the lowest tide on a weekend in the summer, and we then get beach naturalists. And we take especially children out. The objective of the exercise with children is to get them as muddy and dirty as possible. And each child is entitled to bring 5 pounds of sand into the lighthouse. And every kid does that. So, we do a lot of teaching, and we do a lot of really enjoyable things. And Aaron and Doug have been a part of that with the paddle boards in particular. And now, excitement running rampant in the heart and soul of your captain with the possibility of pedaling kayaks.
Yeah.
Kayaks, of course, are inherently unstable. They take a lot of skill to keep from rolling over, and I am not a huge fan of kayaks myself.
You might like this one.
I think I might like this one, yeah. So when we muster the team to put this together for this year, it'll be the first time that we've been able to do it in, I think, 3 years because of the virus. And can we count on Aaron and Doug to be a part of it this year?
Absolutely.
Of course, I knew that. I knew the answer to that question as well. So we're going to move from there. Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Day, 7 December 1941. And not too long ago, I was in Hawaii, and I was near Pearl Harbor. I was actually at the Coast Guard base on Sand Island. And as you look up into the hills in back of Pearl Harbor, you can see what were then the sugarcane fields, and they still are. Where the Japanese aircraft came down and they were contour hopping along the contour of the show. And I bring it up here with Aaron because I happen to know, and I've already briefed Aaron, that I want her to talk a little bit about her husband Doug's service, because Doug is younger and neither Aaron nor Doug were alive.
Nope.
On the 7th of December, 1941. But your captain was. I remember exactly where I was in our home in Annandale, Virginia, when the announcement came across. But I'd like to recognize, because Doug is a veteran of another one of our conflicts. So tell us a little bit about that, Aaron.
Yeah, so Doug was... he is Army. Mm-hmm. He was stationed in Germany during the 90s and was there for quite a while. And then unfortunately was medically discharged when he had a cancer diagnosis. But he, you know, has great appreciation and is still very involved with the veterans here on the island. My grandpa was also in World War II. He was in the Navy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, we've heard a lot of the history from him and his experience when he was with us. But, yeah, there's a lot of conflict still happening. Yes. And, you know, it continues.
So because every year when we come to the 7th of December, I always recognize that. And I always am glad when I can have somebody on who is also a veteran. And I'm aware that Doug is very much involved, as Aaron has indicated, with the veterans here on the island. And so it remains then for me to thank Doug, through you, for his service.
And thank you for yours.
And I am enormously grateful for people when they say things like that. So now we're going to move on to a subject which is close to your captain's heart and soul, and that has to do with grandchildren. And Aaron and Doug have just come back from a trip which included a part of the world that was under my command in the Great Lakes. And so without getting too expansive about it, tell us about your grandchildren, Aaron.
Oh, well, we have three lovely little ones. We have a four-year-old grandson and one-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And we went on a trip to take back their dog that we've been fostering for a year, because they got a lab puppy right before they found out they were pregnant. So it was a homecoming of sorts. We drove out with Hank, their Labrador, who has settled back in very well with the family, and the kids are jumping all over him. And as a pet lover, it would warm your heart to see these pictures of Hank, the golden lab, with three little kids climbing all over him.
So why are they living in the Upper Great Lakes area?
We have family back in Ohio. Our daughter went to school there, met a man, and his family's back there, so they're setting up roots near Dayton, Ohio.
Mm. Okay. So Great Lakes country is very precious to me. I both did a year of concentrated ice breaking with my icebreaker Northwind in the Great Lakes. And then the following summer, I became the commander there with my headquarters in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Did you get into the UP, the Upper Peninsula, while you were up there?
Not this trip, but I grew up in Toledo, Ohio.
Right. Yes.
So right on Lake Erie. And we spent a lot of time in the Upper Peninsula near Petoskey.
Petoskey, yes.
And yeah. Charlevoix.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful part of the country.
So are you aware that Lake Erie is, because it's so shallow, that when the wind blows out of the west, it shoves all of the water over to Buffalo? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, well, it's true. And I have smelled the bottom with my icebreaker, because there was not enough water to completely float her. And that's when I tell the story about how you tell whether you are close to the bottom in the Great Lakes system, is that you go down to the head in the captain's cabin and you flush the head. And if it brings up mud, then you know that you're close to the bottom, because the toilets and ships are flush with salt water. And therefore, I can tell you're fascinated by this. By this particular story and new information. So because Lake Erie is so shallow and the water just gets pushed over to the other side, over to Buffalo, they had a terrible snowstorm there. They get really, really bad snowstorms. I had to break out Buffalo one winter with an icebreaker so that shipping could start to get in there. And so that's the Lake Erie story. So what brought you, I'm always interested in why people, what brings them to the magical Isle of Vashon from, in your case, Lake Erie. And now you've got family back in the Great Lakes area. So what brought you here to the magical Isle of Vashon?
Well, I made it to the Northwest. Growing up, my uncle was a pilot and lived in Seattle. So we came out here every summer and spent time in the mountains and on the water and loved it, and loved the climate. So when I graduated from college, I decided this was where I was going to come, and ended up in Seattle and started taking a boat up into the San Juans forever and wanted island life, but didn't want to be that remote. And Doug and I found Vashon, and this is home. So we sold everything and moved over to Vashon, and he still commutes into the city most of the time, and I'm here full-time running our business.
Where does Doug originally come from?
He's all over the place. So he was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then spent a lot of time in Wyoming, Colorado, South Dakota. And his dad was in mining engineering, and so he just kind of went from mine to mine, and then ended up Rapid City before he joined the Army and went off to Germany and then back to Virginia for a while.
So, like me, you are here for, this is your home for the rest of your lives, probably.
Hope so.
Yep, hope so too. All right, so I am watching, as I always do, the clock, and I'm going to get into a couple of my regular features, and one of them is for all of you Antarcticans out there, all of Captain Joe's people who are Antarcticans, the Drake Passage between the southern tip of South America and the Antarctic Peninsula. Antarctic Peninsula, of course, is where you can find the Wubbold Glacier. If you go on to, do you know I have a glacier named for me?
I did not.
Yeah, well, you go on to Google Earth or Gimbal Earth or whatever you want to call that particular operation and type in Wubbold Glacier, and it will bring it right up. It's not very big, but it is our glacier. And it is healthy. It is not receding. It's not going anywhere. It is just doing the work that glaciers do. I bring this up because the Viking Shipping Company has two new vessels which they are putting into the Antarctic cruise trade. And one of them, Viking Polaris, was on the 27th, 28th of November, was in Drake Passage, and she got hit by some really heavy weather. And one of her passengers apparently took a fall or a skid and ultimately died. I bring this particular story up, though, because the word rogue wave keeps coming up. And I have been in several Pacific typhoons in the wintertime, and the prudent captain always is ready and aware of the weather around him, and this idea that there are rogues that are going to spring up out of nowhere, and they're going to absolutely devastate his ship because he wasn't prepared, he wasn't paying attention. This is a theory to which I do not subscribe. And all of you who are Captain Joe's people, and especially those of you who have sailed with me, and especially those of you who have sailed with me in really heavy weather, and there are a couple of them out there, in my listenership, know that we are always prepared. Everything is rigged down. And in this particular case, if you're going to cross a piece of water like the Drake Passage or the Bay of Biscay or a lot of other places that we could name in this particular world, that the captain and the deck force should have everything rigged for heavy weather, and that includes their people. And so I don't subscribe to this idea that there are rogue waves that are going to magically arise and all of a sudden the ship is going to be destroyed or damaged. Taking the necessary precautions and rig for heavy weather is what everybody should be doing. The idea that training in the military is undergoing some major refreshment, I think, is one way that we're going to look at it. This is another area that I have a great deal of skepticism. To me, when we create new weapons or we create advanced weapons, then the training package that goes with that is something that we should have as part of it, and that we not have to go through these particular reviews of training. In this particular case, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, who is the training officer for the Department of Defense, has convened a panel of three or several, I don't know how many, but all together, but several three-star generals and admirals to be the people that are doing this particular training review. I submit that the people that they should be having are some of the lower ranked and rated enlisted people, and in particular, some of the senior enlisted, like Master Chief Petty Officers and Master Sergeants in the Air Force and the Marine Corps and in the Army. That's where the real experience is of getting out and training the troops. And those are the people that should be sitting on these panels. Now, I'm going to go back to Aaron. And what would you like to see your grandchildren? What would be the kind of experiences that you would like for your grandchildren to have, because they are four and you've got twins, one-year-old twins? That is a busy household.
It is a very busy household.
Yeah. What are some of the things you would like to see? Because I value, you and I have talked about a lot of things mm-hmm. over the years. I value your opinion and your judgment. And now you've got grandchildren of your own. It is hard for me to see you looking as lovely as you do, sitting right across from me at the Gene Boss studio, that you have grandchildren, but that's the fact of it. So what would you like to... What are some of the things that you would like for your grandchildren?
I want them to keep things simple and have the time to go outside and play and be adventurous and not just look at screens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so having outdoor places that are safe and still, you know, let them run free, doing low tide celebrations and seeing interesting critters and stuff on the beach. And so, you know, looking at where we are with climate change and just the way the earth is changing, that's a big weight on me, as a grandma watching, you know, the kids grow up. But, you know, there's things we can do to, you know, keep them safe outside and playing happily and having fresh air to breathe.
Yeah. What you're thinking about taking some risks? About teaching young people to deal with challenges in life that involve some risk, because you can't go through life without there being some of those things happening.
Right.
And it seems to me that we are raising a generation which is somewhat averse to that kind of training and teaching and education. What do you think about that?
I think kids should get dirty, get hurt. Occasionally, you know, doing what you can to protect them. But, you know, a bruised knee, a broken bone, that happens if you get out and actually do things. I think, you know, I wouldn't call it coddling, but I think, you know, letting kids make mistakes, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not holding them so tight that they can't get out and actually experience things and make mistakes, because they need to.
And since we are at our last minute, and since you may well be able to provide such things as gift certificates for Christmas, do you
mm-hmm.
do that?
We do.
So how about you giving... a Christmas greeting? We're not at my Christmas program. My Christmas program, I have a special story that I tell every year. But how about you giving a beginning of the Christmas season greeting to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world? And then I will give my traditional closing.
Excellent. Well, season's greetings. It's 2022 is starting to wind down, and we... As a community here on the island, I think want to wish everyone a safe and happy new year and Christmas season. So If you're in the area and want to some adventure, we're happy to get families. We consider ourselves kind of adventure with training wheels.
Yes.
So we can do a little bit of everything, but just happy to be here.
So it's lovely to have you, Aaron. And as always, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And I am back on the Magical Isle, and I'll be broadcasting here live next week. And in the meantime, if you are responsible for other people, watch their six, take good care of them, take good care of yourself, because if you don't do that, then you can't take care of anybody else. So this is your Captain Joe, as always, up in the captain's chair, on station, and watching properly.